We're turning this morning to that account that we read in John's Gospel chapter 12 of Mary and that lovely act of devotion where she broke that pot of ointment of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, we read here that it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. You remember the two on the Emmaus Road after the Lord's resurrection, who, unbeknown to them, walked with the Lord on that journey until the Lord revealed himself to them. And their testimony afterwards to the rest of the disciples was that their heart burned within them while Jesus spoke to them, while he opened up the scriptures. And the theme this morning is time spent with Jesus. If you like, time spent with Jesus is time well spent. It's necessary for us to know something of that, that our lives might be affected, that we might be stirred up, that we might be made a people more like the Lord through the time that we spend with the Lord. Mary, when we first introduced to Mary, you remember how Mary, back in Luke's Gospel, we read of how in chapter 10, she and Martha, that little glimpse that we have, are there in that household when Jesus visited, and it says there, doesn't it, that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha, we read, was cumbered about with much serving. Remember that little occasion there, don't we, where Martha complains that she's not having help from her sister, and Jesus says, Mary has chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard him. And here we see, sometime later, something of the effect of that, sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing Jesus, meditating upon his words, and storing these things up in her heart. And we see here in this beautiful account of Mary's devotion something of the outcome of that. Mary spent time with Jesus. Mary went to pains to do so. When there were priorities and there were other calls of duty, her priority was to hear Jesus, to be with Jesus. Jesus had come into that household on that little occasion we read of before, and he was there teaching the people and speaking to them. Martha said, oh, I must get ready and get the meal ready. And Mary said, no, I'm going to sit and listen to Jesus. And we have priorities in our lives and other calls upon our time and duties and cares and many other burdens, but how do we set our priorities? Do we make effort to spend time with Jesus, to hear him, to be in his word, to meditate upon him, to pray to him? See, we're seeing here in this account here, I think, the outcome of Mary's time with Jesus. And we see them here in three simple headings that I want to set before us as we look at this account of Mary here and this act of devotion and the words of the Lord Jesus to her. First of all, we find that Mary, having spent time with Jesus, learnt of him. She knew more of him than the disciples did. She understood more of his teaching. She'd meditated upon these things, and having heard his word, we find that in this act of devotion and how the Lord speaks of her, that she had a deeper awareness of the work of the Lord Jesus and why he'd come and what he was going to do than some of those who ought to have known better. You see here that she knew that the Lord Jesus had come to die. This is what the Lord says, isn't he, when he testifies to that complaint of Judas, and as we remarked earlier in the service, the other disciples as well. And he says that against the day of my burying, she hath kept this. See, she knows that the Lord Jesus has come to die. Now, the Lord Jesus had, on a number of occasions, spoke of his forthcoming death. But remember how at times the disciples had not understood that. Peter, on one occasion, took the Lord to one side and rebuked him and said, far be it from thee, Lord. And the Lord Jesus had to severely rebuke him and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest not the things that be of God. But Mary, having sat at the feet of Jesus and heard him speak and taken to her heart these words, she knew, she understood that imminently the Lord Jesus was going to die and lay down his life. And here is this expression of her devotion, this breaking of this ointment and anointing of the Lord Jesus. Here's the Lord saying that she's done that for my burying. Not only that, but Mary here, she'd understood that the Lord Jesus would rise again. That he was one who not only could raise the dead as he'd done shortly before with her brother Lazarus, and what a thrill that had been, how that had demonstrated the Lord's power over death, but the Lord himself would be raised from the dead. Because again, this is what the Lord is saying of it. It's against the day of my burying that she's done this. She's come beforehand to do this. Because why? She's not going to get a chance in the normal course of events to do this. The Lord was going to be raised from the dead. And Jesus had on occasions explained that to his disciples, that he would die and on the third day would rise again from the dead. But you remember how the disciples, they hadn't understood that. Here were disciples who had spent their time with him, but they had been with him but not absorbed his words, not meditated upon these things, not take them into their hearts. They doubted these things. You know all the accounts at the Lord's resurrection, how the disciples couldn't believe that he'd been raised. Sadly, it was the Pharisees who remembered those words of the Lord. Remember how they requested of Pilate that a guard would be put over the tomb over that time in case the disciples took him away and said he'd risen. They'd remembered those words, but the disciples not only forgotten the words, but they'd not absorbed this great truth. But Mary, she knows that in that normal course of events, she would not be able to come and anoint the body as would normally done when a loved one was put in the grave, as they'd done only that short time before with Lazarus, her brother, and then she'd gone through all that. But here with the Lord Jesus, her Saviour, she knew was the coming time of his death, coming time of his resurrection, and she wanted to do those things that were honouring and pleasing. She wanted to anoint his body beforehand. It's what Jesus says. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying, she hath done this. She hath kept this. You find that the disciples, not knowing these things, included also the other women who had accompanied Jesus. You think of those events around the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Who were the women that came to the tomb to anoint the Lord Jesus and to finish off those things that hadn't been done because it was the preparation of the Sabbath? Remember how he was having to be hastily taken down and put in this tomb. It was the women who accompanied him from Galilee. The Gospels tell us that explicitly. There were those women who had accompanied him all the way from Galilee, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Salome, and others who were there. And they were there accompanying the Lord. They too hadn't grasped what Mary here had understood. She had understood that there would be no occasion for them to be able to anoint the body of Jesus. He would be laid in the tomb, but he would be raised again. Mary, the sister of Martha, she's not there amongst those on the day of resurrection who come to the tomb expecting to anoint the Lord Jesus. She's done it. She's already been prepared. You see how Mary, having heard the Lord and sat at his feet and listened to his words, was there, having taken on board these teachings of the Lord, she grasped and understood herself that her Saviour, this Lord Jesus, was going to die and be raised again from the dead. And those things that the Lord has said, she grasped. See, when we spend time with the Lord and spend time meditating upon his word, and we come with that right attitude of heart to our times of worship and the means of grace and to the preaching of the word, and we come and we're attentive, and we pray that, oh, that the Lord would speak to us and open our understanding. You see the depth of understanding. That here was this poor lady here, we know nothing else about her, but she had an understanding that was far greater than those who really had spent much longer times in the company of the Lord, the disciples, and the women that came from Galilee, and yet they had not grasped these things that Mary had herself. So as we spend time with the Lord, we learn of him. We learn these great teachings. We understand these things of the Lord. But then, of course, we see, secondly, the demonstration of her personal love for the Lord. And that coming to the Lord, and that learning of him, and that attending upon his words, it leads, doesn't it, to a love for the Lord. when it leads to an understanding in our hearts of who the Lord is, and that He's one who had come to die and to be raised again, that He'd come to do that for me, then there's that response of love. This Saviour is my Saviour. This Lord is my Lord. He's my Saviour. He came to die for me. And there's a flow of love in return for such a Saviour. And that's what Mary, above all things, is demonstrating here, isn't she? Isn't she in this passage here? We see this demonstration of her love. But it's a personal love. It's a recognition, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus, her personal Saviour. The very act that she goes through here is so intimate and personal, isn't it? Here she is. She has anointed His feet. And you look at Matthew and Mark's accounts. She anointed His head as well. Here is Mary anointing her Saviour and wiping the ointment with the hairs of her head. Here she's saying that this Saviour, this one who is to die and to be raised again, is my Saviour. And here she's demonstrating in this beautiful act of devotion her love for the Lord. See, we spend time with the Lord. We come to know Him and we love Him. We love Him because we realize and we see and understand His love first for us. We can't love a person we don't spend time with. We can't love a person we don't grow to know and we don't listen to and spend time with. But here's Mary. She sat at His feet. And she listened to Him preach and teach. And she's learned to know Him and love Him. And here's this beautiful demonstration of her love. And you notice how here, this is an occasion where Jesus is being honored. He's the honored guest. You notice how it says in verse 2 of this chapter, they made Him a supper. And so here's this occasion. It's been done specifically for the Lord. But there's a gathering of people there. It's a group of people honouring the Lord. Martha, Lazarus has almost as it were that honourable place at the table as well, because people come to see him, the one that Jesus raised. And here's this if you like, this gathering of people together, admiring the Lord, admiring the work that He's done in raising Lazarus. But Mary says, but I have a personal love for the Lord. I'm not just content with identifying with this group of people who are coming here to honour the Lord. She has a personal faith and trust in the Lord. And that needs to be something that each of us come to say. It's no good just coming along with everybody else to the times of worship services like this and saying, well, I've come to honour the Lord. I'm with the Lord's people. I'm identifying with the Lord's people. What about a personal faith? Are you like Mary, able to step out, as it were, from the group of people honouring the Lord and saying, but He's my Saviour, my personal Saviour. I love Him myself. He died for me. So there needs to be that. And it's no good hiding, as it were, amongst the group of them, like these people here. We've already seen the great difference. Some of them didn't even understand that the Lord was about to die and be raised. But Mary did. And yes, she's there at this supper that's been made in honour of the Lord, and in honour of what the Lord has done with raising Lazarus. But oh, she says, but there's something deeper here. There's something more wonderful here than just those miracles that Jesus has done. It's what He's done for me. What He's about to do for me upon the cross. But we can look back and say, what He has done. What He's done in laying down His life for sinners such as we are. Are we able to say that? Are we able to testify to that personally and say, yes, this is my Saviour. Personally, and I love Him for what He's done. We see in this demonstration of a love the cost. Oh, there's great emphasis made here on the cost of this ointment. It says here, isn't it? She took this ointment of spikenard, very costly. Look at Matthew's account and Mark's account, and they again say it was a precious ointment. It was a lavish expression of her devotion and love for the Lord. There was no cost too great for her to spend in showing her love for the Lord. I wonder, are we niggardly in our expressions of love for the Lord? We hold back in our love for the Lord. See, here in this costly demonstration, we see it, we're told here, was worth 300 pence. And one of the other gospel writers says as well, if a penny was the wage, a day's wage, that's a year's wages for a labourer here. Well, Mary wouldn't have earned that kind of money. She was willing to make a great costly expression of her love for the Lord. See, such is her love for the Lord. But she didn't treat this as something that she would hold back and say the Lord wasn't worthy of. Do we hold back something of ourselves in our love for the Lord? Is there something we hold back because we say, well, this is for me, this bit of my life, this gift, this opportunity I have, it's for me. But all that we are, all that we have, we should be willing to spend for the Lord. Spend and be spent. You see, here was this lavish, costly expression of her devotion to the Lord. It wasn't a small, mean expression, such as the cost, such as the price that was paid for her salvation. She's willing to say, I will spend all for the Lord. Is that our response to the Lord? We gaze upon the cross at Calvary and we see what it cost our Saviour. We see how He laid down His life and He took the penalty for our sin. Can we hold anything back from the Lord, from our desire to love Him and demonstrate that love for the Lord? Is there something in our lives that we hold back? And so we're not willing to give that up. If the Lord calls us to give that up, if He should call us to give up our lives, our loved ones, homes and family and jobs, some countries that becomes a very real demand. But what other things do we cling on to that we say, I won't give this up? Mary, she made this great expression here of her devotion to the Lord. Notice also in this demonstration of love that it was a public demonstration. It wasn't a secret love. Sometimes you meet people who say, well, I can worship the Lord at home. They're almost like secret believers, don't really want to tell anybody. Oh, not to be like that. Mary, she wasn't ashamed, was she? To make this act of devotion in public in front of all these people. And in spite of all the murmuring and all the reaction of those that were there, we don't read anything of her being embarrassed or ashamed of her Lord. She wanted to own this Lord. And publicly, even in the presence of those who would ridicule and despise it and object to it, oh no, she owned her Lord. She loved her Lord too much to be concerned about what others would say and what others would think. Are we more concerned about what others say and think? Are we willing publicly to make this profession, not ashamed of our Lord, not to be a secret, devoted follower of the Lord, but a public devoted follower? See, Mary, in this expression, she could have chosen a quieter occasion, a more private time, a more suitable time perhaps, but no, it's here at this gathering. She wants people to know that she loves the Lord. Are we like that? Do we want people to know that we love the Lord? Do we boldly come to our times of worship? Come on, carrying our Bibles and dressed up smartly because we want our neighbours and our friends and others to see it. Here are people who love the Lord and are willing to own Him as their Saviour, publicly to do so. And when we have opportunities in the various contacts that we have, whatever walk and sphere of influence we have, are we not ashamed of the Lord? Are we those who say, no, He's my Saviour. I love Him. I go to worship Him week by week. Go to midweek meetings. Yes, I do, and I look forward to them. See, we publicly profess our devotion for the Lord. This is what Mary was doing here, wasn't it? Here's this very public demonstration. But notice as well that this demonstration of love, it was exclusive. This ointment that she expended upon the Lord. John doesn't tell us here in this account, but Matthew and Mark tell us that she broke the alabaster box. There in Mark in chapter 14, it says there in verse 3, it says, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box. What's the significance of that? Well, you remember the reaction of Judas and the other disciples. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? She wasn't going to hold any of it back for anyone else. Not for the poor, not for Judas, not for anyone. She broke the box. The whole of that ointment was going to be expended upon the Lord. There wouldn't be anything left with it. The box is broken. She couldn't keep some back for herself or for some other occasion or for some other person that she might want to anoint some time. There was no one else. This love for the Lord is exclusive. Her love for the Lord is entire and complete. That she has no love left that can be shared between her Savior and another. And we need to be like that as well. Such is our love for the Lord that it outshines love for all others. Yes, even families and loved ones. It has to do so. Remember how the Lord has said that we have to set Him beyond and above and higher than the love for families and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives. It must necessarily be so. Such is the Lord, our love for the Lord, because of what He's done for us. And this is what Mary is demonstrating here. And there was Judas. Perhaps that's part of his shock that the box is broken and it's all gone. All 300 pence of it's gone. And he said, you could have saved some of that and given it to me or given it to someone else. But no, Mary says, no. Oh, the Lord, He owns me entirely. All my heart, all my love, all my devotion. There's nothing for anyone else. Is that the place that the Lord has in our hearts and lives? Is our acknowledgement of God's love for us, His goodness to us, His mercy to us, the wonder of what He's done, is it to that extent that we say that our love for Him is complete? We can't share Him with another. Are there other things in your life, in your heart, that are sharing the place with the Lord Jesus? Are we trying to carve out a part of our lives where we love the Lord, and then there's a part where we love something else that oughtn't to be there, when the Lord, He demands all our hearts. He gave Himself entirely, poured out His blood for His people. He died, He took all our sins away. He took all the punishment of God for our sins. Dare we? Can we hold back any of our love for the Lord? No, it's to be complete, exclusive, devoted, complete, perfect love for the Lord. Well, here's a consequence again then of that time spent with Jesus. She's learned, she's understood the teaching, understood what the Lord had come to do. She's demonstrated her love. She has a glorious, wonderful love for the Lord. She's not ashamed of. She demonstrates it. But then thirdly here, notice what it is that Mary draws attention to. We've really already remarked on this, but she proclaims Christ's work, His saving work. This act of devotion highlights the Lord's work upon the cross at Calvary. If you like, it's a bit like Paul of old. We've remarked on this, haven't we? How Paul so often said that he was determined to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. That was the central theme of the gospel. That was the central theme of his message. That was his determination in life, is that people would see Christ and Him crucified, Him coming to die, and Him being raised from the dead. And likewise, when we come to know the Lord, we realize that is the most important part of our relationship with the Lord. That's what's more significant than all the other helps and blessings that we receive from the Lord. Now, the Lord is good to us in an infinite number of ways. If we were to count all our blessings, we often remark, we couldn't number them all. We can't count how good the Lord's been to us in so many ways in our lives. If we're believers here this morning, we say amen to that. And we could talk about all the way that the Lord has helped us in so many situations, some big, grievous, difficult times, some even in the small details of life, the little trivial things that the Lord has helped us and answered prayers and comforted us. Now Mary, in this act of devotion to the Lord, she could have drawn attention to the comfort that she'd known following the death of Lazarus, and how the Lord had wept at the tomb, and how He grieved with them and been with them in their sorrow. She doesn't. She could have talked about, oh, what the wonderful work the Lord had done in raising Lazarus from the dead, and there's Lazarus at this same meal, but she doesn't draw attention to that. She draws attention to the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His burying, His resurrection. Those things that we remarked upon earlier. What is she doing here with this ointment? Jesus says, she's anointed me unto my burying. She's doing it now because He's going to be raised. She's drawing attention. If you like, she's preaching Christ and Him crucified. You know, it may be that we aren't able to preach publicly Maybe we don't know the words to use, but whatever means that we have, whatever ability we have to be able to speak of our Saviour, then speak of this, as Mary did. Speak of a Saviour who died for you, and a Saviour who rose again. There's the heart of the gospel message. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the great theme, isn't it? Christ died, was raised again. He died for my sins. We must believe on him. And this is what Mary's doing here. She's drawing attention to this work. And of all the things that the Lord has done in his ministry, and now he'll be drawing towards the end of his ministry, and people knew all the miracles he'd done, and all the healings, and all the great works that he'd done. But here, this is the greatest work of all. Just as the Lord himself had said, one last great sign was to be given, wasn't it? That, like Jonah, Son of Man will be laid in the grave 3 days, but then raised again. Here is the great theme. This is what she wants to draw attention to. But notice that in proclaiming this, in drawing attention to this, Mary came prepared. Something very important for us to notice here. She was ready to proclaim this. She was prepared to speak of this in her act of devotion. Notice what it says that the Lord had said here in verse 7. It says, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying, she kept this." She kept this. This ointment for the anointing of the Lord for his burying, she had kept. She had set aside. She had prepared, waiting for the occasion, waiting for the right time when she could engage in this act of devotion, anointing the Lord for his burying. She was prepared. And there's a reminder there to us, those of us who know the Lord, are we ready? Ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us? Are we ready to speak of the Lord? Are we looking for occasions? Are we praying over occasions where we can testify of the Lord? Speak of our Saviour in these ways, of our love for the Lord and what he's done for us. We need to be a people who are, if we truly love the Lord in like this, we want to honour him. Honour him in our lives. And here was Mary. She kept this. She stored it up ready. She was looking for this occasion. And we need to be a people like that as well. Ready, prepared. We need to be a people ready with an answer. Ready for the sorts of things that people might say to us. We know all the different situations we find ourselves in, the sort of people we're going to meet, the sort of conversations that are going to come up, the sort of questions we're going to be asked. Where were you yesterday? What did you do yesterday at the weekend? What did you do in this evening? You know the various things that come up. Were you ready to answer? Just, we came to worship the Lord. Jesus died on the cross, was raised. These are the things that were done. And so here's this lovely picture that we have here. And so here we have in this account here of Mary, this beautiful picture, then this description of what is the outcome of time spent with Jesus. And then we see the response of the Lord, the Lord's commendation. Do we doubt sometimes that it's well spent time, the amount of time we should spend meditating on the Lord? If we've ever doubted that, look at the Lord's commendation. Look at how the Lord speaks up for her. Here in this account, we just read of Judas, don't we? Criticizing it and complaining about it. Look at Matthew and Mark. Look at their disciples there. It says they were filled with indignation. And what does Jesus do? Let her alone. Leave her alone. And the other accounts say, why trouble ye her? Why are you troubling her? The Lord Jesus owns those who own him. If we're not ashamed of the Lord, he'll not be ashamed of us. If we profess Christ and publicly declare our love for him, you can be sure the Lord will smile upon that and bless that. And we can take to heart these words when we might face the ridicule or the opposition or whatever the response might be of those around us. The Lord is saying, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She's done a good work. Why trouble you him? You see, we should be those who recognize that the Lord here, he owns his people. And he recognizes and he sees when we speak for him, when we live for him, and when we honor him. And that's an encouragement to us, isn't it? That time spent with Jesus doesn't finish. When we move on into our daily lives, the Lord is still there, walking with his people. In all the circumstances of our lives, the Lord is there with us. And especially as we profess his name and proclaim him, and we're not ashamed of the name of Christ, we can be sure that the Lord Jesus himself smiles upon that. Well, here was something that was said as well. John doesn't tell us, but if you look back at the other accounts, Matthew and Mark, we were reminded when we went through our series in Mark of this, of course, but notice what else the Lord Jesus said. We could turn to either Matthew or Mark, but Mark chapter 14, and he adds these other words. In verse 6, he says, "Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." And then in verse 7, verse 9, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her, of her." So there's the Lord saying, this that she has done is so significant. He treasured it and valued it and honored it to such an extent that he said, this is going to be recorded and proclaimed wherever the gospel is preached. We're fulfilling that today. Here we are today. We're preaching the gospel and we're proclaiming what Mary did. And just as Jesus has said, notice how he is tied in those two events together. Because this is what Mary was doing. She was drawing attention to the work of Christ. Drawing attention to his sacrifice, his saving work. And so Jesus says, wherever the gospel is preached, this that she has done will be proclaimed as well. And there's a wonderful encouragement to us, isn't it? That when we are those who are proclaiming Christ in whatever way we're able to, whatever opportunities that we have, the Lord honours that. And the Lord is pleased with it. And here's the Lord. Such was his pleasure, such was his delight, if we could speak in those terms, at what Mary had done. Oh, he said, oh, leave her alone. She's done a good work. Don't trouble her. Wherever the gospel's preached, this that she's done will be proclaimed as well. Well, if we're ever afraid of proclaiming the name of Christ, and let those words ring in your ears. Let that commendation of the Lord Jesus to Mary be something that would stir us up in our desire to honour him. It's interesting that we had this morning at home in our scripture reading, we're in Psalm 147, and there's a lovely verse at the in that passage there, in verse 11 of Psalm 147, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him." The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Think of the Lord taking pleasure in people such as we are. It's hard to believe, isn't it? We're not worthy of it, are we? But if we fear him and we honour him and behave like Mary, expressing our devotion, our love for the Lord, spending time with the Lord, he says, takes pleasure in that. What an encouragement to us that should be. Well, finally, in closing, let me challenge you with one final verse from this passage. In verse 8 of chapter 12, when the Lord has rebuked Judas and the other disciples, he says, "For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Now we understand, as that's being spoken to the hearers on that occasion, that the Lord Jesus, of course, was shortly to die, and although raised again, he would ascend back to heaven, and physically and personally he would not be with them, and he's really saying to them, then seize the opportunities while you can. Like Mary, who sat at his feet, she had her priorities right. She wanted to hear his words. She wanted to express these things herself. But we can apply that to ourselves today. He says there, "Me ye have not always." To believers, do we redeem the time? We started off by saying, time spent with Jesus is time well spent. Do we avail ourselves of the means of grace? Do we use our time well with the Lord? There are particular times of blessing. Yes, the Lord, in a sense, is with us all the time. We've been saying that, but there's something special about the means of grace, the preaching of the word, the worship services, the Bible studies, the prayer meetings, our own personal devotions, our own prayer times. They're times spent with Jesus. Do we use them to the full extent? Do we put that full effort into it that we ought to? Do we redeem that time as we should, or is it casual and half-hearted? See, those are times where the Lord is with us in a special way. We're communing with him in prayer. We're reading his words in the scriptures. We're hearing the word proclaimed. The Lord promises to be in the midst of us when we're gathered together in his name. And then we go out into the world, into our daily lives. Yes, the Lord's with us, but not perhaps in that same special way that we can claim his presence now. Do we use that time aright? Do we come prepared? Are we attentive as we should be? Do we meditate as we should? Is our prayer time, our devotion time, is it time well spent? Is it that we take to heart what he says here? Get your priorities right. That's what he's saying to them there, isn't he? The poor you have always with you, but me you have not always. And perhaps we could say to us today, he says there are times of worship, times of attendance at the means of grace, but that's not all of your lives, is it? Get your priorities right. Use those occasions to the best. Come prepared. Come prayerfully. Come with anticipation. And claim the promises and the blessings in his word. In your own personal devotion, be serious about it. And think of Mary, sitting at his feet, listening to him. Yes, there are other things to do. But Martha, we read back there in Luke 10, she was cumbered about with serving when she should have been listening to the Lord. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part. It shall not be taken away from her. And when we choose the good part, serious about our time with the Lord, come with that true sense of devotion, desire that he would speak to us and feed us and nourish us, that is the good part and will not be taken away. So often, we throw it away. We don't use our time as we should. I speak to myself. We do that, don't we? Our own devotions, perhaps not as they should be. But we need to be like Mary here and see the consequence. See the outcome of time spent with Jesus and how she was so blessed and so privileged with that deeper understanding of the Lord. Perhaps a deeper love for the Lord. A deeper understanding of his work upon the cross at Calvary and her delight in expressing that. And proclaiming that. And we need to have that effect in our lives, don't we? Martha, it says, well, we don't read so much of Martha here. It just says, and Martha served. It's interesting that it says that again. Luke 10, Martha was served and troubled and wasn't listening to the Lord. And here on this occasion, they made him a supper. It says, and Martha served. It's almost like she's not been learning the lessons. She's not progressed. She's not learned, has she, from what the Lord had said before, that Mary had chosen the good part, time spent with the Lord, and we see the outcome of that. And Martha, having neglected that, is still the one who's taken up with other priorities in her life. And there's perhaps a salutary warning for us there as well. Well, there's perhaps a challenge for believers, but those who have not come to know the Lord in this way this morning, there are unbelievers here, those who say, but I don't know Jesus in that personal way that you're speaking of. I couldn't behave like Mary. I don't have that knowledge of the Lord. Same word to you. Me, ye have not always. Well, Jesus says now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time for you to repent and to turn to him. Now, while you're here and able to hear these words and hear this message and understand these things because you don't know what tomorrow may bring, me you have not always. Take that as a solemn reminder. Life is short. And one day, the opportunity will have passed. Come to him now. Believe in him. And you too can know that joy that he died on the cross for your sins. And that outflow of love that Mary expressed there can be yours as well. It's not something we can conjure up. Not something we can just do, thinking, well, this is surely what's expected of us. It comes from a heart that has been changed by the Lord Jesus. We believe in him, and we're born again. And a new heart loves the Lord like this of Mary's here. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us, and may all of us here this morning indeed come to learn of him, and know him, and love him, and then want to serve him. Amen. Amen. Oh, let's come and sing our closing hymn together. 622. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say. 622. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.